John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and I am going to be having some fun studio time right now. And the thing about this is that you folks get a share on the enjoyment here, because I have Mr. James A. Autry in the studio with me today. Anytime you get Jim Autry into a conversation, you know you're going to have a grand time. This is a special conversation because Jim's publisher just encouraged him. I love how his publisher enables him. He's kind of like the cultural drug dealer for Jim Autry. Yeah, come on, do this, okay? And he put together an incredible collection of poetry. It kind of is the big picture of what Mr. Autry has been penning over the years, and it's been a fun journey for him. We were chatting about it before we started sharing the conversation with you folks, and I said, you know, we've got to really start letting the rest of these people know what fun things and insights you have in Mississippi Memories, Nights Under a Tin Roof, and Life After Mississippi. This is just a fun collection. It's you don't have to be from Mississippi to just feel the red soil and the heat and the humidity and just kind of the culture with what you've captured.
Well, this book is a sort of celebrates the 35th anniversary of my first book of poetry.
Wow.
Also, I want to say something about the universality of it. I've been very, very surprised by that. Years ago, when the book first came out, I was at the Aspen Institute, and there was a government minister from Germany. And we had occasion to sit together and read, and I read him a couple of these poems. And he said, that reminds me of when the Allies were bombing my town and my mother sent me out to live on the farm with my grandmother. And I thought, gee, have I touched some universal rural experience? And the more I've traveled and the more this poetry has been exposed, I realize, yes, I have, that the way people live in the country and on the farms is probably more similar than dissimilar all over the world.
I think that is just absolutely beautiful. A thought that struck me, and it's one of those thoughts that kind of is out of focus, so it's kind of hard to put into specific language, but your poetry is in that category of great poetry that I feel you can come back to anytime. It's almost like you have a favorite glade by a stone cliff that you like to visit every so often, every several years. It always has kind of a different look, but the essence of that place is the same. Your poetry has that same feel because maybe the words are exactly the same in the same order and everything, but the reader comes back from a different perspective, a different time in their lives. And that's the kind of a life anchor that you provide with your poetry. And you described it beautifully because it is something that will resonate with people all around the world.
Well, I've always said that it's not so important what the poet writes as what the people read. Not so much important what the poet puts into the poetry as to what the people get out of the poetry. As you know, I'm not very big on all the abstract poetry that's so difficult to understand these days that has obscure literary and classical references. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that's not what I do and probably what I wouldn't be able to do.
Well, I have a feeling if you wanted to put your mind to it, you'd be able to do it. But you've got a winner here in what you do. Tell us about how this whole compilation, 35th anniversary, okay, that gives us an excuse to put this collection together, Mississippi Memories. I love that because in my mind, I don't necessarily think of the state. Because I'm in Iowa, I think of the river, so all of a sudden it has this national context. But tell us about the journey with this, if you would, Jim.
Well, this book is published by the Yakna Potofa Press, and anyone who is interested or has any interest, not interest, but familiarity with Faulkner will recognize that as his mythical county in which his stories take place. His niece, Dean Faulkner Wells, who died a couple of years ago, was married to Larry Wells, who's the publisher of this, and so they named their little press the Yakna Potofa Press. And they were the first people to publish my book, and they have been stalwarts, and they say I've been one of their best sellers, so apparently this book is popular. So it was Larry's idea to put together the first two books of poetry, Nights Under a Tin Roof and Life After Mississippi, into a single volume, this compilation, and to do it as sort of a junior coffee table book. It's a little higher quality in all its mechanical features than my other books. And so it's out now, and I was in Mississippi last week and reading it there, and then to Nashville to Tennessee Literary Festival. It's been a great experience, and I find that people still resonate to this poetry, and regardless of where I am.
Well, and you kind of remind me of the classic creative, too, because, as I said in one of our earlier conversations before we shared with you folks, I wanted to mention this again, and that is the classic creative in my mind is once the piece of art is done, you kind of are moving on to the next thing. And so you had this big smile on your face and, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about that one.
Yeah. It's going through this, I had forgotten some of these poems, and I've been surprised. Boy, it's pretty good, I think. Oh, some of them don't always get that response. But I've been very pleased that he decided to do this because it's put me in touch again with this early work of mine.
Well, your poetry, it reminds me of a comment that I got when I interviewed a very good friend of yours, Norman Lear. We were discussing Cold Turkey, which was his first film that he wrote and directed. Of course, it was filmed here in Greenfield, Iowa. And he said, you know, I watched that film just the other day. This is a couple years ago. And he said, that film really stands the test of time. Your poetry is the same way because, as we talked about at the beginning that you brought up, the universality of the themes, of the imagery, of the everything that you have infused in your poetry, it has that timelessness that does stand the test of time very well.
I've also, in this book, these books, put some contemporary experiences, and in a lot of cases I've compared those contemporary experiences with the Mississippi experience to show the common threads of that.
Go ahead and expand on that a little bit more, because I'm intrigued by that. I want to just be quiet and listen to how your mind works.
Well, you know, I was writing this poetry, and it started out as the Mississippi poetry. I was in business, as you know, as Meredith Corporation and president of the magazine group, and had a lot of travel and a lot of what you would call big-time executive experiences. And I realized there were parallels in these experiences and that I should write some of that as well. So I have another whole bunch of business poetry, which is not in these books, but they're in my other books. And by Duke, I found myself making comparisons about how my life was then to how my life is now. And I haven't got one of those poems marked, but if you talk, I'll try to find one that sort of explains that parallelism that I feel.
Well, we will definitely give you a chance to find that. Jim Autry is my guest today. It is always a sincere honor and pleasure for me to have him here in the studio and share his thoughts through the Culture Buzz here. Mississippi Memories is a 35th anniversary. It's kind of a combination of two of his earlier works of poetry, Nights Under a Tin Roof and Life After Mississippi. If you're curious about how to get this kind of wonderful tome for yourself, and you can find out so much more about Mr. Autry, go to jamesaautry.com and you will find all the information you want. Also, go to your local independent bookseller. The good folks at Beaverdale Books, for example, always try to stay in stock of Jim's books. If they're out of stock, if they're sold out, they will get a copy for you. Trust me on that. There is no way that you can say you've got a good library at your home if you don't have Jim's poetry, if you don't have Jim's books. If you don't have, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the wonderful collaboration with his son Rick, Everyday Virtues, classic tales to read with kids. Such diversity is just a delight to experience. Did you find what you're looking for there?
Well, I found a section where there's several of them. I think there's one little short one that will make the point.
Perfect.
It's called Urban Flashback. Sitting somber in chauffeured cars, surrounded by music and other people's stares, wondering if I could go back to laughing summer days in 37 Chevrolet flatbed trucks on dust-choking gravel roads. Nodding with concern in padded conference rooms, breathing cigar smoke and unscented deodorants, wondering who here could recognize me as I chopped at the threatening grass and loosened the red sand soil around the desperate cotton. Smiling through dim rooms and light talk, sipping something chic and soda, wondering which of these ladies would bring a covered dish and a quart of tea to set among the prayers and songs on the dinner grounds in the pine grove.
Just so evocative of sights, sounds, senses. I just love that. Maybe it's the Iowa farm kid coming out in me, touching back to that time in my life. But anyone who experiences anything in the world, farm kid, city kid, whatever, from North America, from Europe, from anywhere in the world, you can experience some great things by reading the poetry of James A. Autry. Mississippi Memories is the name of his collection. He actually promised to read one more, and we'll get that here in a second. This must have been fun for you because it gives you a chance to put the kind of reflective aspect of an artist into your modern context. And so you're kind of having fun with that, aren't you?
Yeah, it really was. I kept seeing all the parallels of life in the corporate world and life out in the country. Because basically it's about relationships. Business is about relationships. Life is about relationships. And somehow you can see the parallels if you just open your eyes and are open to it.
Well, we want you to open your eyes, but in this case, we really want you to open your ears because Jim will be reading another selection here. He promised one. Did you find that one, Outhouse?
I did.
Yeah. Well, then I will just be quiet and let you share.
You want me to read that?
Please.
Well, this is a poem about fear, about fear. Okay, and it starts with the same way, a reference to a contemporary place and transitions. It happens in places where they fold toilet paper in little points, where the seat is condoured and the flush handle is from the modern museum, where the tub is pastel and the towels hang on heated bars, where the sun lamps are on mirrors and magnifying mirrors scissor out to show the back of your head, that I think of all the terrors of the outhouse on a dark and cold night, with wind bending the pines, with screech owls, with dogs howling, and who knows what waiting in that dark and putrid cavern below the splintery seat. Maybe a new and unknown something hatched from that awful murk, lying there or sliding or worming its way upward, waiting for that next soft bottom to block its only view. Or things even known and feared. One time old boy over in Union County got bit right on the dingus by a black widow, died. We'd play so long and hard at the end of a day, we never wanted to stop. Now, if you boys have to do a job, you better do it before dark. But sometimes we wouldn't, or we'd time it all wrong, or it would hit us after supper, and how could the grown-ups tell? You better go on out there now. You can't wait till morning. They always knew, and we couldn't undress for bed until we took the coal oil lantern and some pages from the catalog or newspaper, and after trying to get someone to come with us just to stand outside, and after calling the dogs, who also seemed to know it was a wasted trip, whistled our way down the path and into the shadowy, drafty, spidery three-holer, talking loudly to no one, kicking the floor and seat, trying sometimes to balance above the hole so our bare skin would not be exposed to whatever there was, and finally did our job, as Aunt Kelly would say, and made our way back toward the lamp-lit windows of the house. I'm sorry I bobbled that one.
Oh, you know, I bobble things when I read too, but the beauty of getting your own collection of poetry by Jim Autry is that you can delve into it day after day. As I said, one of the beauties of your poetry is that it's there waiting to be a whole different experience each time a person reads it. And I encourage you, if you're sitting by yourself with a cup of tea or something like that, read his poetry out loud to yourself.
Let me say something about that outhouse poem.
Yeah.
I introduced this book at Callaway Gardens, Georgia in September of 1983. And afterwards, a lady came up to me and she said, I'm from Marshall County. It's just right over from where you grew up. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you must have known Mr. J.P. McCready. I said, no, ma'am. She said, he's the one got bit by the spider. I swear that's a true story. I know it makes you cringe, doesn't it? I didn't know that actually happened, but it was a great experience.
Oh, that is priceless. That is absolutely priceless. And so will your experience. I'll put it that way, because it's not going to be an if, when you get your copy of Mississippi Memories, go check the fine folks at Beaverdale Books. Look at independent bookstores across Iowa. Go to jamesaautry.com. You can find a way to get a copy. If you can't find a copy, email me even. I will find a way that I will connect you with Jim's latest offering to you.
Amazon also has it.
Amazon, yes. We can always send people to Amazon. Mississippi Memories, James A. Autry. Those are the pieces of information you need to know. I look forward to our next conversation. In the meantime, I will be reading and rereading your poetry. Because I just love your writing. It's there. It's something that is so graspable.
Graspable is a great word.
I had to find something that maybe would describe it well.
It's always good to be with you, John. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Anytime, Jim. You are the best.